Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would open your Bibles to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, beginning in verse 37, reading through verse 45. Luke 9, 37 through 45. This is God's word. The next day, when they came down from the mountain, a large crowd met him. A man in the crowd called out, "Teacher, I beg you to look at my son, for he is my only child." A spirit seizes him and he suddenly screams. It throws him into convulsions so that he foams at the mouth. It scarcely ever leaves him and is destroying him. "I begged your disciples to drive it out, but they could not." "Oh, unbelieving and perverse generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you and put up with you? Bring your son here." Even while the boy was coming, the demon threw him to the ground in a convulsion. But Jesus rebuked the evil spirit, healed the boy, and gave him back to his father. And they were all amazed at the greatness of God. While everyone was marveling at all that Jesus did, he said to his disciples, "Listen carefully to what I'm about to tell you. The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men." But they did not understand what this meant. It was hidden from them so that they did not grasp it. And they were afraid to ask him about it. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Main point today is that the Father loves his Son. This story comes right on the heels of another story. The story right before it is the Transfiguration. We're there on the mountain when it says in the opening verse here, the next day when they came down from the mountain, a large crowd met him. Okay, the mountain that it's talking about is the Mount of Transfiguration. They had been up there the night before. Just Jesus, Peter, James, and John. The other disciples were still down where the crowds were. And there, if you'll recall, the disciples were awakened by the startling display of God's glory, where Moses and Elijah were conversing with Jesus about what was going to be taking place. And Jesus was shining like the sun. Here it is in the middle of the night, and Jesus is shining, and his garments are shining. And Moses and Elijah are there, and Peter, you'll recall, said, "Lord, it's good for us to be here. Let me build three little shelters for you. You can have one, Moses can have one, Elijah can have one." And that did not please the Father. The Father spoke. A cloud filled that place, and the Father spoke and said, "This is my Son. Listen to him. This is my Son whom I love and whom I'm well pleased." Now they come down off the mountain, and there's another father with his son. And he says, "I beg you to look at my son, for he is my only child." Verse 38. He's not saying, "Hey, Jesus, if you have time, would you be willing to take a look at my problem here?" He's begging. He had already, verse 40, begged the disciples to help, because his son's problem was really severe. Notice, it was destroying him. It scarcely ever leaves him and is destroying him. That's the father's description of what's going on with his son. Now, what was the problem? Well, the problem was demonic.
Well, perhaps, you know, that's just sort of a primitive way of looking at this, because they didn't really have the medical advances that we have today. No.
It says in the text that not only did the father of this boy say that it was an evil spirit that was doing this, but Jesus rebuked the evil spirit, healed the boy, and gave him back to his father. Now, Mark, in chapter 9, gives us a lot more details about this incident. Matthew doesn't give us much more detail than Luke does, but Mark gives us a lot more detail. We're not going to go to Mark and read all that, but I want you to understand that from that, we understand Jesus said to him, how long has he been this way? And the father says, from childhood, and describes how this spirit has often thrown him into the fire and tried to drown him, done these other things, because the goal of this evil spirit was to destroy the life of this boy. What is Satan up to? What are demons up to? The Bible says that Jesus said that Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He can't create anything. God is the creator. But Satan wants to take the creation and distort it and attack it and destroy it. He knows he can't destroy God, but he wants to attack that which God loves. In the movies, sometimes, you see some hideously evil villain who says to a parent, I know where you live. Sure would be a shame if something happened to that daughter of yours. I know where your son goes to school. Sure would be a pity if something were to happen to him when he's on his way to school one day. Now, when a villain says that, that is a tip-off that it doesn't get any lower than that. That's as evil, wicked, dastardly as it gets. That's the worst kind of villain. Because he's saying to that parent, I know that if I attack you directly, that would not be as painful for you as if I attack your child. The father loves his son. He says, this is my only child. When Peter tried to put Jesus on the same level as Moses and Elijah, the father was not happy. This is my son. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, so that whoever trusts in him would not be destroyed, but would have everlasting life.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand.
Father in heaven loves his son
Jesus. This earthly father loves his son, and Satan is out to destroy this boy. And there's not anything the father can do about it except seek help. My firstborn son has had over 40 surgeries. He had had over 40 surgeries by the time he was in his early 30s. It's been rough. But the reason that as recently as 14 months ago, 13 actually, we were up in the middle of the night. I'd had just a couple of hours sleep, but we were up in the middle of the night because Paul was having an emergency and we were getting him in the car. I had to call one of my sons to come and get him and lift him and put him into the car. And then I'm off for Atlanta. You know, well, don't you need your sleep? Not now, I don't. And you go to the emergency room and you beg them to do whatever they can to save him. He was in intensive care for days. And let me tell you, other things on my schedule, they were gone. Because I love my son. And so I was focused on trying to get help for him. This father desperately wanted help for his son. He's begging Jesus to do something about it because he loves his son. Jesus deals with it. Mark gives more details. I love Mark's telling of the story, but Luke tells us the bottom line. Even while the boy was coming, the demon threw him to the ground in a convulsion, but Jesus rebuked the evil spirit, healed the boy, and gave him back to his father, and they were all amazed at the greatness of God. Now that that's been dealt with, Jesus says, well, I'm going to take a break. No. While everyone was marveling at all that Jesus did, he said to his disciples, listen carefully to what I'm about to tell you. The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. Again, check the other Gospels and you find that Jesus gave them more information than just what Luke records. Luke gives the condensed version here. But Jesus actually told them that he was going to be betrayed into the hands of sinful men, and they were going to kill him, and he was going to rise again on the third day. Jesus told them that. Now, that's an utterly amazing thing that it's going to happen, but look at the context in which it's happening. How amazing that the father who loves his son is sending his son to the cross. This father is saying, keep my son from being killed. Keep my son from suffering. Please, I beg you, this is my only child. I beg you to rescue him from this spirit that is out to destroy him. And Jesus, who casts out the demon, heals the boy, restores him to his father, knows that he's on his way to be destroyed, as it were. Because Satan is going to have his way. And Jesus, having been turned over to the hands of men, is going to be nailed to a cross. And he's going to suffer and die for us. Why would the Father do that? Doesn't the Father love his Son? Yes, he loves his Son. And he's assured his Son of his love. But he sent the Son he loves to rescue us. Mark gives details of this story, but Paul gives the explanation in Romans chapter 5. You see, at just the right time, while we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The reason Jesus came was not just to give us an example of perfect human life. The reason Jesus came was to give that perfect life as the perfect sacrifice that takes away the sin of the world. He's the one, the only one, the beloved Son of the Father. He's the one who came and bore the full brunt of Satan's attack and the wrath of God, so that we could be delivered from the power of Satan, forgiven for all of our sin, and brought into relationship, given back to the Father. Do you see how these tie together? You see the connection? This is my only child. This is my beloved Son. And Jesus healed at the cost of his own life. Jesus delivered from the forces of darkness at the cost of his own life. Jesus would say, "Nobody takes my life from me. I lay it down." Jesus said, when Peter tried to defend him, "Don't you realize I could ask my Father right now and he'd send legions of angels to defend me?" Jesus willingly gave his life, and the Father willingly sent his Son so that we could be set free from the powers of darkness. We were part of the kingdom of darkness under the mastery of sin. Not anymore. We are no longer slaves to sin if we are in Christ Jesus. Doesn't mean we never sin. It means we don't have to. We're not in bondage anymore. Jesus came to set us free. Jesus came to give us life. Again, I remind you of what Jesus says about the enemy. He comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. And then he says, "I have come so that you might have life and have it to the full, have it abundantly." Satan is a liar and the father of lies. And what he's going to tell you is that he's offering real life, and that if you give your life to Jesus, you're going to miss out on so much. I've missed out on some things in my life. I missed out on cancer. It's true, I've never had it. Not sorry. I've missed out on having quadriplegia. Okay, Johnny Erickson Tata is quadriplegic. Not me. I missed out on that. I've missed out on prison. I did spend the night in jail one time for participating in a pastor's protest against abortion, where we actually prayed outside abortion clinics, and that was treated as a criminal offense in Atlanta, Georgia. But I want you to know something. I'm not sorry I've missed out on going to prison long term. I'm not sorry that I missed out on quadriplegia. I'm not sorry that I missed out on cancer. All the things that Satan offers you, he's out to destroy you. He wants to rob you of joy and peace. But obviously, if he came along and said, hey, listen, I've got plans for you. I want to wreck your life and utterly destroy you. Will you do what I tell you? I don't think he'd have nearly as many customers, do you? Instead, what he says is, this is the way to be happy. This is the way to have peace. This is the way to experience joy. He's a liar. He's out to destroy you. Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me. And we say, whoa, cross? I don't think so. Why would I want to do that? And Jesus says, because whoever tries to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Well, I don't know. The question then becomes, can I trust Jesus? Yes, that is the question. And yes, you can. I'm trying to remember now which apologist said it. I can't remember if it was my nephew, Stuart Connectly, or if it was Kent Hovind, or who it was that said it. Maybe it was the fellow out in California, Ray Comfort. But one of those guys, when asked why a person should believe what Jesus says, he said, if I'm going down the road and I come to a fork in the road, and there are two people at that fork, and I'm trying to decide which way to go, and one of them is a dead body, just a corpse, and the other one is alive, I'm going to ask the one who's alive. And he said, that's why you should trust Jesus. He conquered death. He's alive. He said he was going to die, and on the third day he would rise again, and he did it. So he's stronger than death, and he keeps his promises, and you can trust him. Don't put your confidence in what Muhammad says or what Buddha says or what somebody else says. Put your trust in Jesus. He healed this boy. He was stronger than the demon that was trying to destroy this boy. He restored that child to his father. And he came so that we could be reconciled to the Father by his death and resurrection. Trust him. Trust him. Father, we thank you that you are faithful. You always do what you've said you will do. And we can trust you in all things. Not just some of it, but you're faithful in everything. We pray that you would help us, that you would grant us faith. Jesus said in this passage, this perverse generation doesn't believe. Father, we live in the midst of a perverse generation that does not trust you. Have mercy upon us, we pray. And grant us that faith which comes by the word of Christ. And we will give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.